Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and anything else we feel like. We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. This is the Sean Baker Orchestra with Which Way to Radioland.
It's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal. Welcome to another edition of the podcast. Hope everyone's staying safe, staying healthy. That's what's important. Keeping the social distancing thing going for now. I'm out of my mind. Anyways, it's great to catch up with old friends during this this time. And this is a guy I've known for a while at this point. At least since 2007. Good friend of mine, Rob Dukes. He is the leader vocalist of Generation Kill, which is an awesome band. He's put out so much great music through the years, including the stuff with Exodus One of my favorite eras, if not my favorite era of Exodus, is the Rob Dukes era for sure. So much great stuff. So let's do this. Let's talk with Rob Dukes. He's been sick. He's going to tell us about how his recovery's going. I'm going to let him tell us about that. But let's jam a tune going into this, and we'll jam a tune going out. This is from Exodus. We're going back to 2007. This is Riot Act, followed by my interview, or I almost call it a conversation, with Rob Dukes. Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and calling in an old friend of the podcast who's been on many times before, a guy that I knew we had to check in with during this strange time in our history, Rob Dukes. Rob, how are you, man?
I'm pretty good, dude. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm all right, yeah. Man. I'm just, you know, a range of emotions going from first like fear to, and then I was like kind of angry, and now I'm just like, I feel like I'm just bouncing off the walls a little bit, you know? So I desperately want to at least see that light at the end of the tunnel, but I don't feel like we're quite there yet.
You know what it is? So you're like in the epicenter, like you're in New York, New Jersey. Those are two pretty bad spots. I'm out here in Arizona.
Right.
And I just don't want people to get, you know, sucked into this, sense of false security. Like, oh, it's, because after a while you just, because you look out your window and it's fucking, beautiful out and chirp, chirp.
Right.
And there's birds are singing and like you don't see, and it's not a fucking war zone, but from what I read and what I listen to, and following the experts on this stuff, not just fucking any talking head douchebag.
Right.
Scary fucking time. My sister's a doctor. She's terrified. My mom's a nurse. My buddy Mike is a nurse. And they are all like, this is no joke. They're all terrified. They're terrified to go to work and terrified to be around their families. So, and then, on my own, I realized, man, they don't close pro sports if nothing's going on.
Yeah. It's major. Yeah. Definitely.
They don't close.
Right. Yeah.
No.
Very true.
Yeah. So once they stopped hockey and basketball, I was like, oh, yeah, this is real.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I live in a very red state that is very Wild West out here, dude. People are just, they don't give a fuck, man. Which I don't get, but I get it. You can only act upon the information that you have. And if you're only getting your information from like one or two places, then that's what your beliefs are built upon, and fortunately for myself, being raised by educated parents who, told me to question authority, I get my information from multiple places. And, and then talking to people who are in the middle of it also tell me, what's really going on. And
right.
So, anyway, but other than that, man, I'm hanging in there, dude. I live alone now. So it's kind of like, I've just been sitting at home and reading and writing music and working on my car and,
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Yeah. I feel like I know people are bored and people are, complaining about stuff, but I honestly, for me with the kids and stuff, it's just, man, it's been busier than ever. And I'm like, freaking out, like, okay, I can't order milk anywhere. It's like, so I'm spending like an hours a day. Like my wife, we just got a milkman. He's supposed to come here in like a week and a half, but it's just like, if you would have told me that I can't find a loaf of bread in North Jersey, in 2020, I would have told you you're crazy. But I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, it's like I've never experienced this. I'm like pouring my kids like a half a glass of juice, just because I don't want to dump any of it out. So it's a weird time. We are recording this with Rob Dukes of Generation Kill, ex-Exodus vocalist Rob Dukes, on April 8th. Now, Rob, you're originally from the East Coast. You're a New York guy. Yeah. I know a lot of times people are like, oh, he's from San Francisco. No, you're a New York guy who moved out. You never actually moved to San Francisco, actually. No, you always kind of stayed in New York.
Well, so I was living in L.A. I lived in L.A. for like 3 years. I left after 9/11.
Is that where Gary is now? Is Gary Holt in L.A. or is he in San Francisco?
No, Gary's in Sacramento.
Sacramento, okay.
Yeah, and Tom is in north, even north of Sacramento, up by Mount Lassen, and Jack is in Nashville. And Lee is living in the Bay Area. Lee is the only one living in the Bay Area. So,
okay.
And Zed, I guess. Yeah, Zed. I actually was living in LA when I got asked to join Exodus. So I didn't, I decided to just stay in LA, but I spent so much time in San Francisco. I'd go there for like months at a time for rehearsals and the writing and all that shit. And then I moved back to New York after a couple tours. I was single, so I would like get off a tour and I'd just kind of go on vacation for a week or so, or
right.
I'd go see my friends in New York, or I'd go see my mom in Florida or my dad, I would just travel around. And then eventually I ended up moving back to New York and living there full time until about, 5 years ago when I moved to Arizona. I came to Arizona on vacation and just liked it here. So, San Francisco's awesome, man. I fucking love that city. Very expensive but very, I had some really good friends. I made some really good friends a lot of good friends in LA, and, with social media, it's much easier to stay in touch with everyone without having to call them all the time. You kind of know what they're doing. And so, anyway.
And have you heard from Gary at all? Because of course we have read that he had COVID-19.
Yeah, he had it and he got better. Chuck had it and he got better. His wife had also, and Will was hospitalized. I got it on March 3rd, and pretty much ended up in the hospital, but only for like 12 hours, and then I got quarantined for 2 weeks at home.
Wow.
And was on steroids and a bunch of different other drugs to try to keep me from getting pneumonia. And so that's what I did. I just I stayed home for a couple weeks, and I had like really bad bronchitis. I was coughing so much that it like hurt my chest, and my throat was all tore up. I was like coughing blood and couldn't sleep, achy, feverish for like the first week. And then, you know, I just kept drinking a ton of fucking water. That's kind of what I did. I was drinking like a ton of water, and it was really kind of hard to eat and just kind of, but then as soon as I got better, I fucking went on a fucking tear. Probably put on 10 pounds since then.
Oh. Well, you told me, we were talking a while ago, and you were telling me that like, just like taking a shower was like just taking it out of you, and you'd be exhausted just from that.
So at one point I was in the shower and I had to like go lay down. I was like, all right, I'm done. I took a cold shower to try to cool my body off. And then I just went and laid in bed. And then another time I was laying on the couch, and I kind of said, oh, you know what? I got that thing in my car. Let me go grab that. It was I needed a wire for my phone. And I was like, oh, let me grab that fucking, I wanted I had my wireless head thing in the car. And I was like, oh, let me go grab that. And I just walked to my car, which is probably, you know, 50 feet. And by the time I got to my car and got back, I had to go lay down for an hour because I was just so exhausted. It was brutal, man. I've been sick a bunch of times, man.
But that's the sickest you've ever been, you said, right?
I've never been. It's the sickest I've ever been in my life. It was completely debilitating. And, you know, and then finally I woke up one day and after taking a Buterol, which is a steroid, like inhaler. I had like an inhaler, like a asthma, like an asthmatic person would use. And I got a Buterol. And I was doing that every 4 hours, and then I was taking two other like steroid also, and a cough suppressant. And eventually I woke up one day and I felt better. But my birthday, I fucking had like 27 years of sobriety. I missed that. I had all these things. My friends were all going to, we were all going to kind of meet up and you're fucking old as fuck. But you know, for me, like my birthday doesn't mean shit, but you know, being sober for 27 years was kind of, every year it means, thanks. Every year it means something to me. It's like I'm proud of it, you know? So I usually go out to a bar and not drink. No, I'm kidding. I usually just kind of hang out and with my friends. And anyway, so I didn't get to do any of that. Because I was home. And then, so, you know, and then I've just been playing it cool since, man.
Any idea where you picked it up?
I went to see Overkill on Sunday, March 2nd or 1st. And by March 5th, I was a fucking mess.
Wow.
4 or 5 days. I by Thursday, dude, I went home. I saw Overkill and Exhumed and like, you know, a couple bands on. I went to see Bobby and hung out with Bobby. And then, you know, hung out, watched the crowd. I mean, at that time, there was nothing. I mean, it was like this vague thing on the news, like no one was really talking about it at all, enough to make me even contemplate maybe I shouldn't go to a concert. I didn't even think of it twice. So I went, and Bobby was actually had a cold anyway, so I was like, all right. So we just hung out for a while, and then I went and saw the show. Overkill was awesome as usual. And then by Wednesday I didn't feel good, and Thursday at work I was like, I was just fucked. And by Thursday afternoon, I was like, I gotta go home. I went home, and on Saturday, I went to see my doctor, and he said, yeah, you got bronchitis, you got like upper respiratory infection, and you should take this. And he gave me a drug to take, and then we And then he said, if you're not ready by Tuesday, give me a call back. And when I called him back, he said, go to the hospital. So I ended up in the hospital that night. So, and I was there for 12 hours. I was hooked up to like it wasn't a ventilator, but it was a machine that was pumping albuterol into my lungs. Wow. Which albuterol is it's like a steroid to free up the shit that captures your lungs. That's what it has. And what this COVID-19 does is it gets in your lungs, it gets in the hairs, and instead of having mucus, like, you know how, like, when you get sick and you cough up shit?
Yeah.
You know, you get, like, green or brown or yellow or whatever. They always ask you, what color is it? You know, because they can tell, like, what you have based on what color. Well, I didn't have any of that. Mine was fucking, I didn't have anything. I wasn't coughing up in anything. It was like, it was a dry, shitty, hacky cough. It was the worst, man. You can't sleep. It just keeps you up. But then I started coughing blood, and then I started, and like I said, dude, it hurt like a motherfucker to take a full breath in, and it was just fucking miserable. Wow. Miserable. Anyway, so
yeah.
The drugs, what COVID-19 does, it hardens the mucus onto your lungs, and then no air can get through, and that's what suffocates. So basically what it's doing is it suffocates people to death.
Yeah.
It must be a miserable way to die, because not being able to take a full breath and like being out of breath, just walking 20 feet or 30 feet was fucking brutal. So
But you're better now. You're back to 100%.
I'm not 100%. I'm probably 90%.
Right. Okay,
I still have headaches. I still have headaches every day. I get like a headache if I strain myself. So I haven't, I just started to like work out and fucking, I was doing, you know, working out kettlebells again. And I started lifting again, I was thinking about, going and doing jujitsu with my buddy. My buddy's been doing it for a couple months, and he wanted me to come do it with him. So I was going to do that. So I started lifting and trying to, get in a little better shape to go do that. And then that happened. So, but I'm not ready to work out just yet. I went to work by myself on Saturday at my shop and worked on my car. I've been restoring this 76 Corvette, for myself. So I was doing that. I worked like 6 or 7 hours. And when I got home, I was fucking exhausted. So,
right.
But I've watched The Mandalorian 3 times now.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. Yeah. Let's definitely, yeah. I've watched it twice through. But let's talk about that, but let's get first a quick update on Generation Kill. What's going on with the band?
Okay. So right now they are going into track drums. They are starting next week. We've hooked up with a guy in New York, and they're going to go in. So this guy was able to, he doesn't need anyone else. So Zeus is going to put this all together. But so we're going to go track the drums in New York. So they're going to go in, and it's just one guy. So they didn't close the studio, but they've been very selective of who they're going to allow in. They're not allowing like rehearsals and a bunch of bands. What this is, it's a 4-room rehearsal place,
okay,
but it has a studio. And what they do is they block off if somebody's doing studio time and they need it quiet. They cut the other bands off from this time. So anyway, there's no bands in there. So they're going to go in and they're going to do the drums. That's starting next week or early in the week after. I can't remember the exact date.
So everything's written, ready to go.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It's fucking awesome. It's fucking. Yeah,
and there has been some lineup changes. I guess it's been a little while since.
No, it's back. The only person left is the old bass player left, and we got the guitar player's brother to come in and play bass.
Okay, all right.
That's what we did. We just replaced the bass player.
Gotcha.
Which, most bass players like parsley anyway. No one gives a fuck.
Right.
I mean, unless you're Geddy Lee, or John Entwistle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that
cool,
was a
man.
Joke. I mean, it's kind of like, I realized that it was, yeah. Anyway,
right.
I used to call Jack Gibson that all the time. Like, you're like fucking parsley, dude. One time, somebody jumped up and hit the microphone stand and he was standing in front of it, and the mic hit him in the teeth.
Right.
And he fucking got, and he had to go. So he stopped playing and he left the stage and went and sat down for the rest of the song, like in the hallway, like off stage left. You know what I mean? Like there was like a door. He went through the door and he kind of just sat there. And nobody noticed. We didn't notice. Nobody in the band was like, no.
Really?
So we all started laughing. We're like, I didn't even know you were gone. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So anyway,
right.
I used to always call him a piece of parsley. You're like, you're like parsley, dude. Yeah. Anyway. So that's where we're at with that.
Cool.
Lyrics are done. Fucking melodies are mostly done. And, you know, so now I just got to go in the studio and make the magic happen. So.
Right. Yep. And are you working on any solo stuff too? I know we got some songs by just Dukes a number of years, 2 years ago or so.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been slowly doing it, man. You know what I mean? I have so many, I wish I just did music for a living. It's kind of difficult having a full-time job and doing music. What it does is it takes away your, the time that you would normally have to write music is, you know, I mean, it's why, you know, musicians are usually broke because they're, you know, that takes up so much of your emotions and your thinking and all that. It's for anything. I mean, I guess some people can do it where they can do multiple things and multitask. But, you know, you can't like, okay, I get off work at 6 o'clock. I'm going to go home. I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to eat dinner. And then I'm going to write a song, you know, like inspiration doesn't happen that way. You can't like force it. It's one of those things where, you know, you keep practicing and you like, you know, I practice and I practice and I practice and then inspiration kind of happens. And then, you know what I mean? That's kind of how it fucking goes.
Right.
It's not, and I can't, for me, that's how it works for me. If I sit down and force myself to write something and I go, okay, I'm going to, you know, it's usually comes out shit. You know, it's usually something that I'm not happy with, but I do formulate ideas and I do, you know, randomly think of shit. And I have a recorder in my phone, like a thing. And I just fucking, so I'll just, you know, I'll just, you know, talk then, you know,
right.
I'll just put it in my phone and then I'll come back to it. So I have notebooks full of fucking, you know, notes and songs and ideas and, you know, fucking names. I thought of a name today. I thought of a name today. I saw this video on flatworms, how they, so flatworms are asexual. They have, all of them have penises, right? They have peni. They have two penises, right? And what they do is when they fight, and whoever is able to stab the other one through its skin, like not even like a hole, they just got to burrow their dick into the other one.
Okay.
Whoever wins, whoever does the burrowing, they're the male, and then the female has to fucking go live a life of being a female and then have all the eggs and stuff.
Wow.
And that's the life
crazy,
of a flatworm.
All right.
The life of a flatworm.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and that, so I called it, I think it was violent insemination.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Oh, that'd be a good punk band name. You know, so I wrote that down. If anybody wants it, you can have it.
Yeah. I mean, what you're describing there sounds like a character from maybe minus the penis, because I know Star Wars is, you know, PG or at least PG-13, but it sounds like something out of Mandalorian, which again, I've watched twice, and the creatures, the way that it puts you in that Star Wars universe, I just thought was just top notch and done so well. And I felt like, I mean, you know, the movies, the newer movies, especially the J.J. Abrams ones, I mean, there's a fast editing style to them. They're cut fast. The one thing I have no problem with that. But the one thing I did like about The Mandalorian, which even took me back, more, you know, to that original trilogy vibe, is their slow edits. There's some of the battle scenes they will cut a little bit faster, but there's also nice long shots, which you don't get much in the newer Star Wars movies, at least maybe a little bit in Rogue One, but in the J.J. Abrams one. So and just all the little nods with the you know, going back to Tatooine, and there's just so much great stuff there. I wanted to get your opinion on it. You said you watched the series three times.
three times. And so, like, I agree with you on the newer movies. I like them. I'm not shitting on them in any way, shape, or form. They are, you know, the whole story is still a grand story that I cherish and always have.
Right.
Rogue One was my favorite of the newer. That and Solo were actually really those.
Yeah, Solo was really good, and so many people didn't even give it a chance, you know. But Solo
was
good.
Fucking great. Yeah, people were like shitting on, like, oh, well, he's not Han Solo, he's not Harrison Ford. Like, lighten up, dude. What are you? This is for 8-year-olds. Like, are you fucking kidding me? This is a story for teenagers. This isn't a story for a 50-year-old guy. You know, whatever, man. Like,
yeah.
That doesn't matter. The story was great. I loved the introduction of Chewbacca. It was fucking fat. It was absolute. It was great. That was so good. Whereas The Mandalorian, so you and I have spoken at depth. We've spent hours and upon hours speaking about, the after books, the books that come after. And there's Tales of the Bounty Hunter, which I think you've read. Haven't you read that?
Yeah, I read Tales from Jabba's Palace, which you told me to read.
Okay.
And it was great, yeah.
Yes. So there's one called Tales from the Bounty Hunter, which gives all the bounty hunters from Empire Strikes Back. They're all standing on the upper shelf, and Vader says, no disintegrations. And they're all standing there. There's Bosk and IG-88, all those. So IG-88 was such an interesting story. So I didn't I tell you to, I know I told you to read Tales from the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, you probably did. Read it, but yeah.
So here's what you can do. For anybody listening who gives a fuck, and you can do this right after, Mark. Go Google Tales from Bounty Hunter, IG-88, and it will give you the story of IG-88, which is a story that I read probably in 1999 or whenever the fuck it was read. I read it immediately. I've had a tattoo of IG-8
right,
in the early 2000s.
On your leg, right?
He's my favorite character. There's actually four IG-88s. Four of them were built, and when you... it's a robot. And the moment that it became self-aware, it killed everybody in the room. It killed everyone that designed it. And then it fucking went on this fucking just destructive path through the universe. And when you see The Mandalorian, the first episode, and IG comes onto the screen, I was blown away.
Yeah.
It was such a fucking great character to have. And then the fact that they bring the character back through Nick Nolte, and he redesigns
him, rebuilds him, reprograms. Yeah.
Oh my God, dude, that was so fucking awesome. I mean, it just the whole story itself is killer. I mean, you know, the Baby Yoda is awesome. I hope they give it a name so we can stop calling it Baby Yoda. It's a killer character. That's not something that was ever in any of the other books that I read. I've missed it, but there was never another creature from another being of that creature, whatever, wherever it comes from.
Right. In Phantom Menace, there's like a shot of another one that's, I forget what that species is called, but there's another one of them in Phantom Menace. I may be mistaken about that, but I think there's a brief shot of it. Yeah.
I've been waiting for my buddy to... He has a version of that. He said he was always going to send me. He took out all the love story of the first three.
Yeah, I used to have that. I may have that on a hard drive somewhere. But yeah, it's like they edited together all three movies and took out like the bad stuff. Yeah, yeah.
They took out all the love story. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on? Well, first of all, I loved how. This is like 7 years after Return of the Jedi, right? So the fact that I love that you're seeing like in the early episodes, the stormtroopers, you know, they're scuffed up. The what was the Empire, you know, is really down and out. You know, they're on the underground. I loved that.
Yeah, they're the rebels.
Yeah, they're the
underground rebels. And
yeah.
They have some good technology, and they have like, when the ones that are dressed in black come with that big Gatling gun, to when they're inside the bar before they go into the tunnels. But when he gets his, finally gets all his new armor,
right?
You know, before they get to that, into the lava lake where IG-88 actually, a spoiler alert, he actually kills himself to save them. Right before the end, you know, the end with the, with, I forget the Darth, Grant, Moff.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. The guy who then flies the
black eye. Moff, whatever. He's so, so before all right, when, so when he brings the, all that new group, you're like, oh, so there is some people building the Empire. Now, if you were to read the book, The Tales of the Mandalorian, which is the story of Boba Fett, it actually starts the moment Han Solo hits his jetpack and turns the flight on and makes him go into the pit of Carcoon. The story starts right there. So he basically survives that. He gets out, but he loses his armor, all his Mandalorian armor. He's actually, he gets saved by another bounty hunter. He gets out of the pit. He kills the pit of Carcoon. He blows it up with a grenade. Climbs out, almost dies in the desert. Somebody saves him, and then he goes and gets a new ship, a new armor. And it's a three book story. It's called the Mandalorian, and it's the, it's three stories, man. It's three books.
Now this is an old story. Awesome. This is like an old from.
Yeah, this is old, man. This is from like the early 2000s, late 90s.
Okay.
It's fucking brilliant, dude. It's great, man. It's by Kevin Anderson is one of the main writers. I think he wrote most of the Tales of the Bounty Hunter stuff and Tales from Jabba's Palace. Like he's, Kevin Anderson was like a prolific writer for the Star Wars after universe, after Return of the Jedi. So this takes place, that's what this story is. Then there's another story, that a book that's called Tales of the Bounty Hunter, which is basically each character, each bounty hunter had its own story. Like Boss, the lizard guy that he
Boss,
fights.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yep. I had the figure. I had the Star Wars figure, Bossk.
Right. So yeah. Bossk was a lizard. It was a group of people. It was a, they were from a planet. They were all lizard people, but they were Wookiee hunters. And what they did was they would chase Wookiees down and fucking kill them for their pelts, like we did the beavers and
yeah.
So when at one point, Boba Fett he gets on Bossk's ship at some point. In this bounty hunter book, and on the wall is just pelt after pelt. It looks like a clothing store. Wow. Like how many guy goes, I just need Chewbacca and I'll have the rest. That's kind of was Bossk's whole deal. Is he was hunting down Chewbacca, and it's fucking awesome, dude. It's such a good story.
Wow.
Yeah. So so the Mandalorian, he kills a bunch of those creatures in the Mandalorian, which was awesome. Like wow, they're bringing back all that shit.
Yeah.
You know, so you know. I can't say enough about Jon Favreau. I mean, he has just become, I mean, from Swingers to, you know, starting off and then being an actor and acting in like he was, like he's done some really good acting roles that I thought he was funny in. But as a director and as a writer, I mean, he had a show called Dinner with Five, which was he would sit around with other movie directors and actors and talk. And it was such a great show. It was on, I think, IFC or Sundance. And it was a show that lasted for a couple of years. But he wrote this. I'm so glad that he's in control and not, even though I know he's going through Disney, but it looks like they've given him free reign. And they're using different directors for every show. But each one has like a little different feel to it, even though it's the one story. When the fucking Stormtrooper punched Baby Yoda in the face, dude, I haven't laughed that hard in a really long time.
When he's in the bag.
Dude, I laughed so hard because I'm like, that's like, yeah, that made me happy.
Yeah, and the other thing, the cantina bar scene, where they go into what I think is the cantina bar. I mean, and it's not as like rocking as it was back in the 70s.
I even think, robots.
Yeah, well,
it's not
back
human
in
behind the bar, it's a robot.
It's a droid, and it's ironic because it's, you know, in New Hope, it's like, oh, we don't serve their kind, and here their kind is now serving, which I thought was just brilliant. And it's sterile. Absolutely. And it reminded me of like, well, okay, Times Square in the 70s, you know, it was a crazy scene, you know, and the Times Square in the 80s and the 70s, that was danger back then. But then when they drove, you know, the mafia out of town and, you know, corporate came in, and it reminded me, okay, well, the hut people are gone, and this is what happened. It was like a boring M&M place store. I don't want to hang out at the cantina bar anymore, you know. It's like I thought that was that, even little things like that I thought were just brilliant.
Oh, totally, man. Yeah.
And who is Baby Yoda too? Like, what's the deal? Is it like a cloned thing? Like, Yoda's long dead at this point, so it does drive me crazy that we're all calling him Baby Yoda, because it's not Yoda.
Well, here's the deal, right? Or is it but in Empire, when Luke says something, he goes, well, you've been around 800 years. Tell me how good you'll look. You know, he said that. So he was 800, 900 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that he's 50 years old and he's a fucking baby.
Right.
You know, just it. So, hopefully, I mean, granted, now they're going to have all this fucking time. They're going to have to start doing content where they're just releasing movies that are going directly to. So that you can watch a movie that's in a movie theater at home now, like the next day.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully they're going to want to push content because, you know, at this point I'm ready to delete my Disney Plus, you know, but I keep
your subscription
over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't fucking need it. But if they, you know, keep me fucking, they better entice me to keep it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, they put that new season of Clone Wars up there, right? And
yeah,
not all the Marvel stuff and but yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Well,
exciting stuff. I mean, we definitely had a good year for Star Wars with the last 6 months, really, with Mandalorian and with the Rise of Skywalker. Ending, which I really enjoyed. Sure, I mean, I know the critics kind of hit it hard. I thought so much stuff was really wrapped up nicely at the end.
Here's the thing about reviews, right? And I don't know if we agree. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Like, I just make my own determination. And if we don't agree, if we can't see, I don't fucking care. It doesn't bother me. You know what I mean? It's just like music, and everything is personal to everybody. And if you have, you know, if you're going to pick it apart, you're going to fucking ruin it. And just, cool.
Right.
If that makes you happy, then that's what you need to do in your life. I don't choose to do that. I choose to sit there. And I remember that, you know, this story started when I was fucking 8, 9 years old. And that's where I put myself when I watch it. It's not for a 52-year-old man. It's for a 9-year-old.
Right.
And that's where I go when I watch it. I don't let the acting ability of whatever actors and storylines. I want it to be the story that I knew that it was going to be, and you know, and it lived up to that in every place.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, hey man, we'll put your kids to bed.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you go, but thanks for checking in with us on Talking Metal, and stay safe. And it sounds like,
hey, if you need anything, man, if you want to, you know, text me if you're gonna order some books to read, and if you need something, man, fucking tell me and I'll fucking ship it out to you.
Oh, okay, awesome.
Whatever you need.
Well, I appreciate that.
You know?
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Yeah, because we're going to, like I said, I'm busy, but I'm just like, I just want to go out and like go to like buy a sandwich at the deli. You know, it's just like, it's like the stuff like that. It's just like, it's nutty.
Well,
but
has it been nice to have more time with your kids and like more time with the wife, and everyone's kind of like, I mean, that's, a few of my friends have said that. A few of my friends said, hey, it's been nice to not, because my friend travels for work. And he was like, dude, it's been nice to be home every day and just to be with my kid. We go walk around this block. We fucking take a walk at night. We watch the moon. We fucking had a fire in the yard. We set up a tent and we went camping in the yard.
Yeah.
And we fucking watched a movie on the garage. I was like, dude, that sounds like a, he goes, yeah, man, fuck, normally I don't have time for that shit. You know, I miss, you know, so it's been nice to be home. I was like, oh, all right. I go, you know.
Maybe like for the first week. I'm like done. I just feel bad for my kids. They have the possibly the stupidest teacher of their entire education currently teaching them. That's me. You know, thank God my wife, she blocks out like a little time around her lunch break. She comes out and I feel like that's where they're really getting the education. But I'm
you know what, man, you should do is just, you know, give them a summer off and teach them Star Wars.
Like, exactly. Yeah, we watched Mandalorian, you know, together during this quarantine, and my youngest son just loves it. They both love it, but my 9-year-old son. Yeah. It's funny you said 9-year-old because he's 9 years old and he loves the Mandalorian. He's going around cranking the music. He loves the music. I thought at first I didn't know if I liked the music, and then I was like, yeah, it works. It's like kind of Rocky-esque almost. You know, it's
there's nothing about it I don't like.
Yeah.
I have really nothing negative to say about it whatsoever, except for I had to wait every week. That was like I wanted to.
Yep.
If I had the ability, I would have watched all of them in one day. I probably would have fucking taken a day off work and said, "Hey, I can't come in today. What are you doing? I just can't come in today. I got a thing." And then I would have watched all of them, but I had to wait each week. And same thing with The Outsider. Did you watch The Outsider yet?
No, everyone's telling us to, but yeah.
Well, it's very good, dude. Yeah. Very, very, very fucking good, man. I mean,
okay.
So anyway, like waiting week to week, you haven't had to do that since for a long time because normally you just get everything, you know? So, but I watched that. By the way, the new Louis C.K. stand-up special is fucking phenomenal.
Where is that? Netflix?
It's on his website, louisck.com.
Okay.
The new Tom Segura Ball Hog is awesome. The new Bert Kreischer is awesome. There's a lot of good stand-up specials out there. I know that that Ricky Gervais Afterlife Season 2 comes out soon. I know Chris D'Elia is another great comic. He's got a fucking special coming out soon. So I know I told you I started doing stand-up comedy. So
yeah, man. You sent me a video of some of it. It was good. Yeah.
Good.
What, anything else going, before I let you go, anything else going on with that? Are you doing more stand-up?
Everything is closed now. So crux of doing it, I was starting to do it like a couple times a week. I was able to, you know, to really, and plus I was working out shit with my friends. I'd go hang out with my buddies and smoke cigars, and I would fucking try my act out on them. And if I made them laugh, I would write it down, and then I was going to take that stage. And then everything kind of got squashed, so it's been a while. So as soon as everything comes back to normal or whatever it comes back to, and I get back into clubs, then I'm gonna start doing that more, too.
Good.
So,
cool.
All right, man. So anyway, everyone stay safe out there.
Thank you.
Man. You know, you too, Jared. Give your wife a big hug for me.
Will do.
And tell the kids Mandalorian. Yeah, right on.
Right on. Thank you.
Wow. Let's in a matrix of lies. Through explosive entries and corruption. Begins at the moment of life. This world without reason. This time will never be the same. We're on the brink of destruction. Will man ever want to change? This path to extinction. We'll be right back.
Kill right here on Talking Metal, featuring, of course, Rob Dukes, the guy we just had a conversation with, and it's always great to catch up with him. The name of that song, by the way, is There Is No Hope, and that sometimes, I thought that was kind of a good title, because, man, with everything going on, there's mornings I wake up feeling that way, but I actually think there is hope. Let's stay healthy, guys. Let's keep it going. Go support Rob Dukes. He's got some great music out there. Fragile Mortals, if you haven't heard of that, that's the project he did with Daryl McDaniels of Run DMC. Rob is just constantly cranking out good stuff, and I'm always looking forward to it. He's a true artist, a true Star Wars fan. Thanks, Rob. We'll talk to you guys next time, all right? Stay safe.